Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
Carrie and Tommy are about to get a little wild in this podcast. If money feels a little wild, NAB's right there with you. From weekly groceries to the yearly holiday, whatever matters to you, NAB can help wrangle it. NAB, more than money.
Thank you for being friend. Yeah. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being friends.
Y'all ready to get this thing started? Y'all ready to get crunk?
Hey, yo, hold up, stop.
It's the one and only
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, it is. Welcome to it for your Wednesday arvo. How are we, guys?
Ooh, I'm pretty good. What is your hypothetical question? Because you had one for me just before we came on.
So, I'm cold and I realised I dread winter. And I started thinking, if I could have summer all year round, how would I feel?
The best.
Yeah, you'd feel so good.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
If you had to have one season for the rest of your life, would it be a hot season or a cold season?
It'd be summer with footy.
Oh, interesting.
Footy's the only good bit about winter.
Right. So you don't like layering up, jackets, none of that?
Oh, the fashion. Oh, sorry, I didn't know you were going to mention the fashion. Actually, now that I think about it, I don't mind a jacket.
What about sitting by the fire and stuff? Do you like that?
Sitting by the fire is fine,
yeah.
But only because it warms you from the bitter cold.
Yes,
yeah. Like,
yes.
I'd much take not having to light a fire.
What? Go around the room. What do you want? Hot
summer.
Or cold?
Summer. Yeah.
Eli?
Cold.
Oh, don't get Eli started.
Eli needs a vampire. Hates the sun.
Is Eli
it sun? Is it sun?
Hates
it. Is vampires that sun?
No, that, yeah. Yes. Is it?
Yeah. Vampires.
Pip?
Can I take spring?
Ugh, boring. Okay.
That is a pale woman that wants to be hot, but not too hot.
But also brag.
That is someone that burns easy.
Doesn't get hay fever.
100K on the line today for the time game. 100K every day. Will it go off today?
Ooh.
Do I feel it in my waters today?
Hang on.
Give me a moment. Maybe.
Oh, stay with us.
They're feeling watery.
Carrie and Tommy.
So we know that National Cabinet happened today. The Prime Minister met with the state leaders to try and come up with an answer to how to stop violence against women. A raft of new measures were announced, and we're going to chat about them later. But it's worth pointing out that we have been chatting ourselves about how to talk about this, I was going to say for days now, for years, but particularly the last few days, because I am at a bit of a loss to know where to start.
It's obviously been going on for a long time, and it seems like an insurmountable task in a lot of ways. But, Carrie, I just feel sorry for you, as I feel sorry for all women in this, because it so unfairly comes down to people waiting for women's reactions when they're having crimes committed against them. And it's unfair. And I also feel like at the moment, even on you, like for you to speak about it, all that's happening is men are committing crimes against women. And so then for the pressure to be on women to A, say something about it, B, do something about it is so ridiculous.
And we are just tired. Like, so Monday, I went for a run and I voice recorded myself talking about this issue because it's all I've thought about for weeks now and I'm so angry. And then I listened back to it and I was like, there was just so many different parts to it, from respect for women to, you know, how women can leave violent partners safely to online issues with boys. That was so many elements of it. I was like, it doesn't even make sense. And then yesterday, again, I sat down and I wrote this, like, I don't know if it was a letter to myself or just my thoughts. And I sat down and wrote them again because I was like, I need to get this out of my head and on paper. But then I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's not going to do anything. Like, it's just not going to do anything. So even the words I have on this page that I thought, why don't I read them out to you all today, how I'm feeling, because I'm sure you feel the same. I looked at them and then I thought, oh, and I, they're still just sitting here in front of me and I've not read them out.
So what do you want to do with it?
I wondered whether... it seems like, I mean, us women have been talking about this for years and no one seems to be listening. So I wondered whether it's time for you guys to stand up and speak up and speak loudly. And I think sometimes men don't think about what it's like to walk in the shoes of a woman.
Mm.
And so I wondered maybe if you read it out, I don't know if it might mean more people will listen or if it might just give a different perspective about what it feels like to be a woman in this country at the moment.
I will happily stand by your side, rage with you, do whatever you need. Do I just read this?
Yes. I mean, you can stop at any point. It's.
Is it going to make me cry?
Oh, I don't necessarily think it'll make you cry. I hope it makes you angry.
Okay.
Because it makes us angry.
It's taken me days to work out what to say about the crisis that our country is in at the moment. Not because I don't have things to say about the abhorrent number of women dying every week in our country by the hands of a man, but because I no longer know what to say because it feels like we are yelling into the abyss. We are exhausted. Not only do we have to spend our life planning what time of the day to run, what road to walk down, what clothes not to wear, what carriage of the train to get on, which hand to carry our keys in, not only do we have to sleep in fear of a possible man outside or the man inside or the taxi driver, the Uber driver, a former partner, a current partner, a man we've never met. We now have to be the ones to fix the issue too. No, not all men are monsters, but we live in fear of the ones that are. We change our behaviour to account for the bad men, not the good ones, because the risk is too high for us not to. To the good men out there, do something more. Just not killing us is not enough. Do something. If 32 people were killed by a terrorist, we would take immediate action. If 32 men in Lycra were killed riding their bikes on a Sunday morning, laws would be drawn up overnight to stop it happening again. Do something to help us women. You literally wouldn't be here without us. Stop talking about it. Do something. What we are asking for is not too much. We're simply asking to have the same basic right as you, the right to live, to be safe. To the men who want control, the men who can't handle rejection, the men who think the law doesn't apply to them, to the men who think they can intimidate, manipulate, coerce, to the men who can't regulate their emotions, can't act with respect, your time is up. To the PM, do something. We shouldn't have to march to draw attention to this issue. You know what the issue is. Please do something more and now. Government, stop building another freeway for a moment. Build a safer future for our daughters. This is not political. This is not a matter of opinion. The facts speak for themselves. Every 4 days, a woman in Australia is violently killed. Last year, the government set a target to reduce the number of women killed by their partners by 25% annually. Instead, deaths have increased by nearly 30% in 2023. Don't reduce the number by 25% or 50%. How about make it so no women are killed by their partners? Stop censoring a nipple on Instagram. Instead, censor the views of misogynistic, violent men online. Start believing women when they say they're scared. Listen to the stories of those who have experienced violence firsthand. Increase funding for those offering the frontline services like crisis centres, safe housing and support services. Give them sustained funding so they can spend their time helping women, not lobbying for their next round of funds. Don't allow violent offenders the chance to offend again. I know I absolutely do not have the answer, but there are so many groups out there who spend their life working in this area. They know some of the answers. Listen to them. If you think women are becoming shrill, think again. If you think we are being dramatic, think again. If you think we are sensationalizing the issue, think again. We are scared and we are asking, pleading for help. Do something. And stop killing us.
So that's some of the stuff going on in my head. The government has announced a raft of measures today. We're going to look through them and chat about them and see if they are headed in the right direction. And let's hope they are on the other side of this.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home for your Wednesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Today the government has had a big meeting with all the people that make decisions in our country
yep.
to talk about how to tackle they're calling it the issue, but it's not an issue. I don't know how to describe what's happening in this country at the moment, the number of women dying at the hands of men. And some of the things that have come out of that meeting, if you did just miss it, I wrote some of my thoughts on how I'm feeling. Tommy read them out because I feel like everyone seems to have stopped listening to us women, and I was hoping that maybe if he read it out, some more people would listen. The fact of the matter is there's so many ways to tackle this issue and we don't even know where to start. So I do appreciate for a government that there's lots of ways, lots of prongs that need to happen in this thing. It's not just a one solution, but it also can't just be political. It can't be a how do we get to the next election? This has to be something that is now a 50-year commitment that every new government will take on and continue to run, because if it's just them trying to get re-elected the next term, this is absolutely going to have no impact.
Completely.
So the federal government has announced it will provide $925 million over 5 years to fund the Leaving Domestic Violence program. Already, advocates in this space have said $925 million over 5 years. What about the $50 billion defence gets? Like, it's a drop in the ocean. So I'm not good at the budget and the math and where the money, how it gets distributed. But for those that do work in this area and do know, they're saying it is nowhere near enough. Women looking to escape violent relationships will be able to access $5,000 in financial support. Great. That is a first step. But how do you access that support? If it involves going to Centrelink, good luck, because no one's got 5 hours to sit on hold, 2 days to sit in a Centrelink office. They're trying to flee a violent relationship. So there's many questions around how women would access that money, whose account it goes into. Is it able to be accessed without being traced by your partner? Lots of questions to come around this, but this is just some of the measures they've announced. The government's also agreed to address misogyny online, including banning deepfake pornography. A pilot program is going to be set up for age assurance technology to block access for children to online content such as pornography. Reviews are going to be put in place. There's one that I didn't really understand, but the government is going to bring forward legislation in early August to outlaw the release of private information online with an intent to cause harm. This is called doxing, and it is the idea that someone may release private information in this situation about a woman that may lead to them being harmed and releasing that information online, and they're looking at bringing that legislation forward. There's lots more to be announced, but that's at the crux of it.
Yes, it is a simple issue, which is men are being violent towards women. There are so many layers to fixing it. The issue itself is simple. I think one of the things that needs to stop is distractions. Like, even dudes going, oh, but we're not all, like, some of us are good men. I think that idea of good men and bad men is the stupidest argument ever, because for every man who has committed an act of violence against a woman, there's men all around them that at some point have referred to them as a good man. Like, who cares about your character? You've committed a crime. Like, it doesn't matter. We're not standing by this idea of we're separated down lines of good men and bad men. Stop creating dumb distractions and let's just focus on the actual issue at hand, which is men need to stop killing women.
Well, there's a question that was asked to the Prime Minister about bail, because apparently it's not uniform across the country in terms of electronic monitoring and bail laws. And the Prime Minister has said that is one of the things they've committed to defining the best practice in this area and to make sure they can really change bail laws to make sure that violent offenders don't have the opportunity to re-offend. I think there's so many layers to this issue, even as a parent. So you can raise a child in a household and send them to a school where you talk often about respect for women and you raise them to believe in equality and all the things we need to build as a society. And then they spend hours online on TikTok where they're seeing information from misogynistic men couched in ways that make it seem appealing, make it seem like it's not that radical a view. It's actually, you know, we just want men to have equal rights as well, was one of the videos I saw that sounded, if you didn't understand how I'm going to swear, our society is, you'd go, of course we want equal rights for men. But you see it and you think, oh, that's what our kids are consuming. Like, we got no hope. We can change education in schools. We can do all this stuff. But we're fighting against that tide. That's where they're spending their time. They're spending their time on a device that we're not even seeing half the information that's being disseminated. So the idea that perhaps the government can step in, and this, as I said in the bit I wrote, they're so worried about a tiny bit of perhaps nudity of half a woman's breastfeeding nipple on Instagram. How about worry about these guys that are the monsters hiding online who are pretending to have respectful, honest conversations, about issues like women and men and equality and all of that when they're not at all.
Also in what you just wrote, I mean, it was pointing out to men like me, anyone, that the world is viewed differently as a woman, and we need to understand that. And while we're still in a place where everything is run, I know there's exceptions, but let's be honest, everything is still run by men. And so trying to get that change of how the world is viewed, when from the top down, the people who are making the laws, who are running everything, aren't women, like, it's going to be very tough.
But you also don't realise, like, I've spent a lot of my life changing my behaviour as a woman, and it's only now that I'm older, I'm like, that's insane. Why do I have to do that? Like, I was explaining the other day to you about what goes through, say, my mind when I go for a run.
Yeah.
How the night before I've already thought about what time I'll run, how when I get up in the morning I'm checking how light it is, then I'm choosing what track to run, and then when I'm running past someone, I'm turning around to make sure they've run on and not hidden behind a bush, and then I'm looking at what was their expression when they ran past me, which in my head for many years I've thought was neurotic and insane. And then I started talking to friends, they're like, oh, yeah, we all do that. But the way in which we've spoken about, yeah, we all do that, that's insane that we do that. What are you guys thinking about when you run?
What our split times are.
What's a split time?
How fast you did the last K compared to you did the K before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that sums it up perfectly.
Carrie and Tommy. For your Wednesday arvo, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. $100,000 is up for grabs in the time game.
Which usually that'd be big money, and that is not too far away on the show, but Bickers. There is a competition that I have taken part in before. It's been going for years. I think it's potentially the best sporting competition in the country.
That you've been taking part in?
I've taken part in before.
Oh.
And it's finally gone off for $1 million. I'm going to tell you about it next. Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy. $100,000 is on the line a bit later in the show. Or will it be, Carrie? Because the time game, the $100,000 time game, jackpots every day, or does it?
It doesn't. It's $100,000 every day. It's guaranteed.
Anyway,
you're going to give someone $100,000.
I want to talk to you about million-dollar fish. Do you know about this?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's a tourism campaign that started by the Northern Territory. I go to say 7 or 8 years ago, right? And when they started it, so they tagged some barramundi, and for the season, it encourages tourists to go to the Northern Territory and try and catch these fish that are worth various amounts of money, including one barramundi that has $1 million tag on it.
How fun.
So good. Guess what? It's never gone off until this week.
Oh, my God. Who got it?
A teenager.
What?
Yes, he caught.
A teenager won the
million. Yeah. Keegan Payne from Katherine in the Northern Territory. I believe he caught it in Darwin, but he caught it, and it was only a day before the deadline. So they run it just for the season. So it was going to be midnight last night that it was all
shut
done
off,
and dusted.
Yep.
And the day before he caught it. So he caught it on Monday.
Whoa.
How wonderful is that?
As a beater.
Yes.
How big is it?
Hey, it was a 67-centimetre barra.
I was going to say, I don't know why I asked that. It's not like I have any reference point. Is that big? It was small?
You know
how big that is? No, but I mean, is that a big barra?
I've
caught
bigger.
Okay, sure.
So he caught it in the Katherine River, 317 kilometres south of Darwin.
When you say you've been involved before,
yes,
you've tried one season to catch this million-dollar fish, have you?
So when they launched this campaign, me and my mate were like, "This, we've got to go up." And so we went up for, we went up for one night, and didn't catch anything. That may shock you, Kerry. But then the next year I went back with the project and did a story there, and I went out with local fishing legends who were, everybody up there is trying to catch the million-dollar fish. It's sick, right? And I went out with this Japanese bloke called Hiro, and he took me to this fishing spot, and I was with one of the English cameramen, Pez, who worked on the project.
Yeah, Pez, yeah.
And we're wading through like thigh deep water in like these mud flats. And he's like, Tommy, is this dangerous? It feels like it's dangerous. Is there crocodiles, Tommy? And
is I there?
Said, Pez, and Hero doesn't speak much English. And I said, nah, Pez, we're fine. He goes, it sounds dangerous. It feels dangerous, Tommy. And he's sweating because he's pale like an Englishman. Anyway, we're out in waist deep water and we're fishing. And then the next fisherman we go and we speak to, and I said, oh, I just went out with Hero. And he goes, where did Hero take you?
Oh my God.
And I said, he took us out, we're like waist deep in water out there, and he goes, he just puts his head in his hands
and
he
goes, told you it's dangerous.
He goes, there are crocs there all the time.
Oh my God.
You guys are so lucky. And Pez is like, oh, Tommy, I don't like this. I don't know. It's hot here. It's hot. It's sticky. Oh, Tommy, can we go home, Tommy?
It's
the best. Oh, it feels dangerous.
Do you think the locals are annoyed that a teenager has now got it, or do you think they'd love it?
What do you mean? This is awesome.
But you've spent like 9 years like wanting to get a house.
He would have been fishing this whole time.
How
good is this? He's got a big family. I think he's one of eight, and he's talking about how the money will be life-changing. For his family. He's going to add some to the mortgage of his parents.
He fishes second weekend or something.
He's a young Indigenous kid from Catherine. It's a wonderful
I love the
story.
Phrase, I'm gonna add a little bit to the mortgage. Like, I've got plans. I'll throw on my bone. Add a little bit to the mortgage, but I got plans.
Here's what he said. This is crazy for us. We're a big family. There's eight of us. This is more money than we could ever ask for.
Oh.
It's just great. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He went on.
Perfect person to give the cash to.
Yeah,
fish knew.
I feel sorry for him. He went on to Sky News, obviously didn't get good advice to go on to that show. And, of course, they bring up something from his past when he was like a teenager, and they said, "What is it true you stole a buggy from this business?" And the poor kid goes, yeah, I was really young. I'm really sorry. And he goes, he named the business owner, and he goes, I'm really sorry to you and your family. I've said I'm sorry before. How good's this? So the business owner has come out, and he said, out of the blue, he received a really touching offer. He said, out of the blue this morning, his father rang me and said, Keegan wants to repay you, and you could have knocked me down with a feather. He said, Keegan always felt so terrible for what he did. And the business owner said, it was just a one-off mistake from a good kid, and he's never held a grudge against him, which is wonderful. So we got there. But anyway, it was a long way around to...
Isn't it?
Fish tails! Woohoo! We want to hear your stories about fish tails.
That is clearly someone who's never seen DuckTales.
I thought it was just going to go fish tails and then we were going to talk. Sorry.
No,
I didn't realise
it was
a whole pre-produced thing. I was going to say it's the first time I've been moved by fishing.
Well, guess what's going to happen again, because we're doing fish tails. So give us a call. What happened while you were fishing? We want to hear about your catch. Give us a call.
Carrie and Tommy.
For your Wednesday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. We've got $100,000 to give away in the time game a little bit later on. But right now...
Fish tails. Woohoo! If you've got tails from catching fishes, call us. We want to hear your stories about fish tails.
The $1 million fish has finally gone off in the Northern Territory. A young kid, 19, has caught the barra that is tagged and won himself $1 million bucks.
I love this so much.
That I've been up there and had a crack at myself because...
It feels very American. It feels like an American sporting event. That.
Does it?
Yes.
Catching a barramundi.
Well, not the barra bit, but just like the fishing for cash. Like,
yes.
I feel like they do everything like that kind of like everything's a sport.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just fish for fun.
No. Nah.
Fish for cash.
Cash. G'day, Greg.
Hi, how are we going?
Yeah, pretty good. Welcome to Fish Tales. What have you got for us?
Yeah, well, it was a few years ago now, but I was out fishing with my old man off some rocks. And as he was bringing it back in, he got caught up on some rocks. So I said, oh, look, it's not that deep. I'll wade out and get it off for you. So I got out, throw the line out, and had to duck dive under to sort of get it off the rocks. And as I'm pulling it off the rocks, he then thought he had a fish on.
Oh.
So he's gagged the line as hard as he could and pulled the hook through my thumb.
Oh.
So he caught me.
Greg, firstly, what an idiot your dad is. Like, you're there getting his hook out.
That's what I told him.
Oh, mate.
So the hook went right through my thumb, so we had to cut the eye off it and had to pull it all the way through.
You had to pull the hook through your thumb. Did you have to pull the hook?
I wasn't very happy with him.
Did you have to pull the hook through your thumb, Greg?
Yes.
Oh my lord.
No.
Oh.
That's why I don't fish.
Is that why you've stopped?
To be fair, that has always been my greatest fear. Even when fishing as a kid, even just like off a pier, my greatest fear was always the hook coming through and gouging my eye.
Mine's very specific, and it's not eye based. It's when I'm walking behind someone and they cast.
Yes.
And I think it will hook my cheek.
Yep.
And rip a hole in my cheek.
Yep. I've had that one too. Yeah.
Have you?
No, I honestly have. Yes.
I thought you meant it's happened.
That happened to my dad, not quite that, but when we went on a fishing trip when I was a kid and he was trying to put another hook on a different line and he was sitting there, didn't have a shirt on, and they threw it back and it just must have caught on his back and then they went to fling it and it just went right into the skin of his back.
Anna.
We laughed and laughed.
Hey guys, how are you going?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Good.
Welcome to Fishtails.
So I was fishing off the jetty in Seaford, and it was a shocking day, and I hadn't had any luck. And we were going to pack up, and the wind blew my jumper into the water. And I went down to grab it, and when I pulled it out, it had a little puffer fish, like a little toady kind of thing, in the hood.
Oh, you're the first person ever to fish with your hoodie.
Yeah.
It's like a net.
Having more luck with the hoodie than with the actual fishing rod.
What did you do with the puffer fish?
Oh, threw it back in, of course.
Yes. Is the, you know how the puffer fish in The Simpsons is poisonous in, like,
oh,
you've got to be very careful.
Yeah.
Anna, can you eat puffer? Is that a thing in real life?
Yeah, you don't eat it. No.
Okay, no.
So growing up, my mum had this plate of, like, shells and, like, coral and stuff that sat on her dresser, right? No, that she just collected over.
She would have been mad for crystals, too.
Yeah, no. She didn't like crystals. Not into crystals at all. But she collected things at the beach. She loves the ocean. But she had this enormous puffer fish. But I once got told they were poisonous. And so for about 10 years, I wouldn't touch.
She had an enormous one.
So she had a dead, like blown, what do you call it?
Oh, and it puffed up.
Puffed up.
She still had it.
Puffer fish on her dresser.
But was it coated? Was it wooden?
Nope, was it like taxidermied or something?
It was just a proper one
from
the ocean.
Carrie, it would go off.
No, I promise you, you can ring her and ask
her. Carrie, you can't just have a fish on your mantelpiece.
It would have stunk.
Honestly, it was not wooden. It was the puffer fish shell or whatever.
That.
Like
they don't have a shell.
Well, whatever the fish was, it would ask
but you
her.
But you understand. You understand that line of questioning.
I understand. But the point of what I was going to tell you is for
you
someone
just
told
have
me
a fish on your mantelpiece.
It did, that it was poisonous. Obviously, when it's alive, but in my head, I wouldn't even touch it because I thought it might make me sick.
Yeah, but if you can step on them when they're on the shore and stuff, and they can make you sick. But
the one that had been on my mum's mantle for 10 years.
But it wasn't.
It was.
Then it must have been like taxidermied.
Okay. I was typing in Jenny.
Hang on, let's go. G'day, Olivia.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Hey, speak to Olivia. I'm going to text my mum.
Olivia, can you please tell Carrie that you can't just keep a fish on your mantelpiece for 10 years?
You can't keep a fish on your mantle. Come on.
Well, tell my mum that, Olivia.
Oh, Jesus. It's weird to tell my mum. Anyway, Olivia, fish towers, what do you got?
Okay, so I was with my girlfriend, and we just like, stuff it. Let's just see if we can catch a fish today. So we were amateurs, so we got my dad's fishing rod, went down, and basically she was standing kind of, like, beside me, but at the back of me, and I went to go wheel, like, throw it back, and it caught. She had, like, a big hoop earring, and it caught her ear, and I yanked it pretty hard, and she went overboard.
Oh!
And then she's not a confident swimmer, so I had to literally jump in, and it was the most embarrassing thing, and she will never, ever let me live this down.
So there wasn't an ear ripped out?
It wasn't an ear ripped out, but the earring kind of ripped a bit of her ear, and then I yanked it.
And then you both ended up in the water.
We're a mess.
Phones in pockets?
Thankfully not. We had it down in our bags, but it was just demo,
and honestly. Did you catch anything that day, Olivia?
No.
No. Okay. So what have you got on your mantelpiece for 10 years?
to be honest, the only kind of fish I've got is one I bought in Milan. So, you know, the glass one?
Like a blown one?
The blown one,
Was that what yours was?
No, it was real. I promise. Mum, answer your phone. We'll get Jenny on by the end of the show.
Oh, what a tease.
Gary and Tommy.
And we need answers.
I need vindication is what I need. I told you a few minutes ago, we were talking about catching fish, and I said that my mum on her dresser growing up had a puffer fish, big puffed up puffer that was dead. For 10 years, someone had told me that they're poisonous, so I wouldn't touch it, even though it was a dead one, because I was worried that I'd get stung or whatever. And you all said to me it couldn't be a dead puffer fish that was on the dresser. Yeah,
we said they must have like taxidermied or something, because you can't just put a dead fish on your mantelpiece.
You asked if it was wooden. And I said, no, it was just the fish.
But you just said
dried.
It was just a dead fish.
It was dry.
Just a dry
puffer
dead
fish. I'm sure
it was. How would it stay inflated?
Anyway, I thought, let's go to the source. The fish couldn't join us, but my mum can.
I was excited.
And she is on the line now. Hi, Mum.
Hi, sweetheart. Your daughter's in the bath. You'd be happy to know. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Jenny. It's very nice to chat to you. Jenny, did you have a dead puffer fish on your mantelpiece for 10 years?
Yeah, we did. Actually, it was in the bathroom. That's where it tended to be. Okay. It's sort of, you know, with the seashells and stuff that I always collect.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Yes. What is it? Was it a dead puffer fish?
Well, it was certainly a real puffer fish, and they just slit the bottom, like the belly of it, and drained out the actual innards of it, and obviously did something that just stitched up that part.
And then so dried it?
Yeah. Well, it does naturally dry, doesn't it?
That's
eventually
what I was saying.
No,
they would telling
have, no Jenny, it would have gone, wouldn't... if they didn't do anything, it would have just gone off. Like, surely they had to lacquer it or something.
Well, it was sold. So I think it was in, I'm trying to work out, a long time ago. I think it was, we were in some kind of seaside place. I think it was San Francisco, or it might have been San Diego
you
or
brought
something
that
like
home
that
from overseas.
Yeah. And just a do you want dried proof? Fish. Do you want proof? Because it had to be in quarantine for 6 months. How about that?
See, what? I told you,
Carrie, they still would have done stuff to it. You just said there was just a fish that was plonked on the
like
thing.
Now
this
you're,
has come from overseas.
I feel like now you're now not willing to move a little bit from your anti-stance to think about it and go,
no,
oh,
it's
perhaps
a taxidermied puffer fish. It's exactly what it is.
Do you still
which
have
is exactly
the puffer
what we
fish?
Said.
Do you still have it, Mum?
No, that's one of the things that I downsized. And
you got rid of it, Jen.
And because it was real flesh, I didn't want to wet it.
Did you say it got rusty, Jen?
Dusty.
Oh, dusty.
Yeah, because it was real flesh, she didn't want to wet it. Anyway, thank you, Mum, for helping.
Thanks,
I really
Jenny.
Appreciate it.
That's all right. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, Jenny.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for you Wednesday afternoon. Coming up very soon, 5 seconds could win you $100,000.
Yes, but right now, I had quite an animated discussion the other day with a couple of my mates. I was getting tattooed.
Boys.
I was getting tattooed, and one of my friends asked me who of the boys hurts the most when they tattoo me. And I said,
Hold on. Which?
So I've got three
which
mates.
Which tattoo artist hurts you more when
I've
they tattoo?
I've got three who have tattooed me.
Right.
And he was asking which of us tattooed me. And I said, well, you, because you commented on my, you said I had dry skin.
Oh, so not
emotional.
Hurt with the pain level.
Yeah, no,
hurt
emotional.
Hurt with the, he offended
yes,
you.
Yes. And then the boys laughed. And
you
the
got
one
a bit
who
of
was tattooing.
Going on, do you?
No, just anyway.
Oh, a bit flaky.
I don't
There's stuff for that you can get, you know.
What is it?
Oh, it's got all. Shampoos,
sorry, I don't have
moisturizers.
I don't have eczema. Thank you very much.
Just a flaky boy.
I just am
a dry,
ashy lad. and the one tattooing me said, "No." He goes, "You don't have dry skin, but you should moisturize your legs." And I laughed and I said, "Nobody moisturizes their legs." And he goes, "You should."
Hold on. You should because you've got tattooed legs, or men should moisturise their legs.
So there are some men who have their legs tattooed who shave their legs, and they would moisturise as well, so your tattoos don't look ashy.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, do you think there's men who just moisturise their legs?
Sorry, just I've got a few more questions about yours. So when you shave your leg to get the tattoo done,
the
hair just then grows back through
and
covers the tat. So some choose to have it permanently shaved
it,
so that you see it. Let's see, can I see it? Oh, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. But you're asking the question, in general life, non-tatted men, do you just moisturise your legs?
Because I don't reckon anyone does. Do you moisturise your legs, Jesse?
Never.
No. Benny out there, do you moisturise your... No, he's getting a shaking of the hand. Do you moisturise your face, Benny? No. What do you do? Just wash it with water and
Benny's
leave it
Benny's too young to have to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Benny's he's, just got youthful skin.
Just the bar of soap on the bottom of the shower floor.
Oh.
As I said, too young to have to do anything. But hold on, Jesse, back to you for a second. Would you moisturise any other part of your body?
Face.
That's it?
Yes.
And what do you moisturise, Tommy?
I moisturise face and then shoulders and arms.
You moisturise your arms?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're moisturised.
Because they're dry, as
he
said.
You, why are you being so hurtful? Pippa, does your partner moisturise his face?
Yes, his face.
Arms?
Nothing else?
Yeah, his legs, no.
I don't reckon even men would. Sorry, I know you want to do men moisturise their legs. I don't think most men are even moisturising their arms. I think if a man was to moisturise anything, it would be his face, and even that would be a 50-50 that men do that.
So what do you want me to do?
Moisturise your legs.
No, you keep doing you, but I think the arm bit's a bit different as well.
So should I stop it?
No, you do.
What made you start?
Why do you moisturise your arms?
Because it makes you feel nicer and it smells nice.
But then why not your legs?
Because they're all the way down there and I don't feel them and smell them. I haven't smelled my legs in a long time.
Just walking at work and he's got one there, yeah. Just having a whiff. Men that moisturise. Good question. Is it a cultural, do you think? Do you think if you went to Italy, Italian men are moisturising everything, or French men?
Sorry, dark-skinned men moisturise far more often.
Oh.
Because when you get... like flaky or ashy on light skin, you don't see it. But on dark skin, you do. So all the men I know all the men I know who are dark skinned, they moisturise whole body. Yes.
Well,
anyway.
I don't reckon a lot of women are doing a full body moisturise every day.
Aren't all women doing that?
No, not all women.
Aren't they? Belle, are you not moisturising your whole body? You are the most moisturiser person ever.
That's just because Belle's Belle and she's just genetically amazing.
131060, Carrie, what would you like to know?
I just think it's interesting to chat to men who moisturise.
Great. Give us a call. Men who moisturise.
Carrie and Tommy.
Benson Boone, that is beautiful things for your Wednesday afternoon. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Benjamin Button, as he is known. And Pip has promised me a viral video that is apparently a young baby singing that song. And it's incredible. It's set the internet alight. So
beautiful.
I can't wait. That's coming up.
Speaking of beautiful things, we're talking about men who moisturise, who have supple, smelly, beautiful smelling legs.
Smelly. G'day, Dane.
How you going?
Yeah, pretty good. Do you moisturise your legs, Dane?
Yes.
Every day?
Every day, after the shower, twice a day.
Are you tattooed?
Tattooed and dark-skinned.
Tattooed and dark-skinned. There we go. Do you shave your legs as well, Dane?
No, I'm a tradie and I kneel down most of the day in dust and I choose to wear shorts, so... my legs tend to get a bit ashy if I don't moisturise every day.
Dane, this might sound like a left field question, but because you said you're dark skinned, I have a friend who's dark skinned, and because obviously I'm white, I've never thought about this before. He reckons that travel restrictions when you travel, he reckons they're racist because all the tubs of moisturiser and stuff
you can
take,
100 mils.
They're really small. And he goes, they're obviously written by a white person because they don't appreciate how much dark skinned people use moisturiser. Do you agree?
You can always buy more moisturiser when you land.
That's
pretty
good. There you go.
Okay.
Good
on you, Dane.
Good on you.
Thanks, Dane. What about Chooks? Hey, Chooks.
Hi, Carrie. Hi.
Yeah.
Hey, Chooks.
How are you going? Are you a man that moisturises?
I am, because I'm dark skin as well and have a few tats. And if you don't, you look like a ghost, literally.
How much moisture are you going through, Chooks?
I'm talking about maybe 5 to 7 mils every 6 weeks because I moisturize the whole body.
You just got tubs of the stuff around the house, Chooks.
I do. I always look out for them for when they're on sale.
I bet.
Yeah.
Do you have a preferred one? Do you like one with a scent, a bit of coconut or a bit of, you know?
Oh, yeah.
No, I try to limit it to, like, just natural because I just want to stay moisturized, not the scent, because no. Sometimes they add way too much chemicals and you don't want that on your
also,
body.
Also, you just want your natural scent, Chooks.
That's right. Mm. That's right, Kerry.
Thank you, Chooks.
Hey, Steph.
I don't want my natural scent.
What do you mean?
You want coconut. Like, you know what I mean? They all smell better than my natural scent. Sorry. G'day, Steph.
Hi.
Are you a man that
That was very, are you in the middle of something, Steph? That was real, hi, let's chat. We've got stuff to do.
No. I'm in the shower.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that would
I got
be
it.
My son.
Got it.
Yeah.
Have you got something to add to moisturiser chat?
I do. So my ex-husband, he moisturises his legs. He's fair and he's got no tattoos.
Oh, and did you appreciate it at the time, the soft legs?
Probably not.
Not enough
probably
to stay with him.
Probably moisturised more than me.
Did he? Do you full body moisturise, Steph?
I don't.
No. Okay. Who left who?
We probably left each other.
Okay. Yeah, just not yeah. shared interests of moisturising yeah, your whole
no,
body. I get it.
That.
I get it.
It must have been the moisturiser.
Good on you, Steph. What about Vince? Let's end with Vince. Vince, are you a man who moisturises?
Yes, I do. I moisturise. I use L'Occitane.
And lots of tan.
No, L'Occitane.
A L'Occitane. You've lost your tan.
I know. It's a cream called L'Occitane. You can get the body lotion.
I think I used that on my face, the one, the sunscreen one. Yes.
Oh,
I thought it was L'Occitane.
I thought it was L'Occitane.
Yeah.
No.
Where do I say it, Vince?
L'Occitane.
L'Occitane.
And where do you use your L'Occitane, Vince?
Well, you've got the face one, which has got shea butter in it. It's L-O-C-C-I-T-A-N-E.
Yeah, we don't need the spelling. I want to know where in your body you're using it.
Oh, okay. I use it because there's two types. There's one for your hands, mm-hmm. one for your face, and one for your body. So I use it on my hands because in summer I get the bit of like sweat pimples, and then it breaks, and then it cracks and stuff like that. So I need to use the strong stuff for my hands.
Yes.
I use the lighter stuff for your face and your arms and stuff like that. So.
And how much do you use? Would you describe it as? Loss or
yeah,
I don't like because you only use sparingly, so because it's expensive stuff, so you don't you don't just splash it on like it's cheap. So,
I was not expecting Vince to be chatting to someone on air today about their sweat pimples. I love you,
for a long time, so
yeah, good on you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great.
I wasn't expecting to learn how to say L'Occitane. Gary and
Tommy. Few Wednesday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And if money feels a little wild, NAB's right there with you. From weekly groceries to the yearly holiday, whatever matters to you, NAB can help wrangle it. NAB more than money.
You know what can also help?
Yeah.
NAB can help, absolutely. We can help too.
Yes.
Because we got 100K that could be yours.
Ooh, it's coming up very shortly. Just before we get to it though, because our boss dog here, the Pipmeister, she's bought us some audio and she's said it's gone viral. And I cannot wait. You said, what is it? It's a baby.
It's a baby singing that Benjamin Button song.
The
one.
Stay.
Leave, stay, don't go, whatever. Leave.
And so we've got a baby singing this. Let's have a listen.
That's funny.
Are you serious?
Sorry, I didn't that's like it
baby,
before.
That's a baby barely making noises.
I know,
over the
but
song.
The timing of the nah, is pretty good.
I reckon when the standard is a bird singing Beyonce.
I mean, yes, that's my favorite voice. Insane.
I think you once said that was the best video on the whole internet.
I think it actually
yes.
is.
Yes.
No, I genuinely think it is. That one that Pip brought us is not up there.
Yeah, it's not.
But still, cute kid, you know.
Sure. $100,000 maybe. Up next. Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy. Woo!
Your Wednesday arvo is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now.
Well, well, well. It appears you're not the only one in this world with a sliding start time at work.
Oh, no, it's producer Belle as well.
You claim that you get to rock up at work different times every day based on when the boss tells you you need to be here,
Barry,
which is BS. You're just late every day.
No, that's not true. He sends me a calendar invite.
Yeah, you're late every day and
when
you're not
you
the
check
only
calendar
one.
Calendar invites.
You know who you're like?
When it's the big dog.
You are like The Rock. Only because of your start time. There's no other similarities.
It's not true.
Apparently, Dwayne still makes me laugh
DJ.
Every time that that's his name.
Dwayne.
Dwayne is costing producers big time because he's always late on set, right? So apparently he's filming Red One at the moment and he's cost some $50 million, $77 million Australia due to his attitude, they say. The two things he keeps doing is rocking up 8 to 9 hours late every day.
How do you rock up 8 to 9 hours late? How long's a day?
Sources claim his absence or tardiness, as they called it. 8 hours late is not tardiness.
Yeah. What time? Dwayne, you got here at 6 p.m. and you were meant to be here at 7 a.m. It's
apparently,
a little on the late side.
Apparently on previous movies, right, they wouldn't ever publish his call sheet. Because people started keeping track of what time on the call sheet it said he was meant to be there and what time he would get there. And then it caused problems on set.
This is not true.
But he also does the other thing you do.
You can't rock up a day late.
He does the other thing you do, and he's taken to peeing in water bottles on set instead of using the bathrooms.
Oh, my God.
He says he makes his poor assistants, he doesn't say this, they say he makes his poor assistants this or member of his team have to deal with his bodily fluids because he won't walk off to the bathroom. He pees on set in a bottle.
This is a hit piece and absolutely lies. There's no way
someone's getting defensive.
No, but he's like, he is. There's no way he would have made that many movies if he was rocking up 8 hours late every day.
Yes,
but the
it does.
Pee thing, he's admitted to the pee thing before.
No, he hasn't, has he?
Yeah, he said when he goes to the gym, he needs to pee so many times throughout a workout that he has
peed
used
in
a bottle.
Oh,
because
wow.
He's having pre-workout formula, probably. I get that.
I get that.
Yeah, see, same. Yeah, told you guys had something in common.
Bottle boys.
Let's talk about Taylor Swift for a moment. Her boyfriend, Travis Kelce, he has made a monster deal, which has put him in the history books. He's become the highest, I don't know what any of these words mean, the highest paid tight end. What a funny expression.
Yeah. It's actually a position.
He's got a tight buttocks. He's become the highest paid tight end in NFL history, signing a monster 2-year, $34 million US, which is about 52 million Australian extension with the Kansas City Chiefs.
So I have a question about this.
I wouldn't ask me anything about tight ends. Well, depends. Okay. The question is.
But do you reckon they've offered him more money because they make so much off his merchandise?
Surely. Right. Absolutely. Again, I've got no idea.
No, go with yes. That's
but
fine.
Surely he'd be worth so much to them. Just
I don't
a team
know.
That you don't want to lose him. Imagine losing Travis Kelce on your team right now.
I don't know. Because I don't really know NFL contracts, but compared to the basketball, like that's not much money.
Oh, right.
Like
but
basketball.
Isn't in football like all the quarterbacks and the running backs get paid the big money?
Yeah,
so
they don't really they don't value a tight end.
Yeah.
He's a Taylor Swift boyfriend, so they've only given him a 2-year contract because new album will be out soon.
Oh, how long's his contract with Taylor?
I'm down. Yeah, exactly. No, good luck to them. Speaking of
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Wednesday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God.
Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
All you need to do is say stop.
Stop.
On exactly 5 seconds. And doing just that. Exactly that. Could change your life forever. Because today, the time game has jackpotted to...
I wrote it on my palm, but it's a bit smudged.
Oh, my gosh, it's 100K every day.
I think it is.
Carrie and Tommy's $100,000 time game.
Yeah, it is. I think so. It just got a bit sweaty. Hello, Alice.
Oh, my God, hello.
Do your palms get sweaty when you get nervous?
Oh, my God, so sweaty.
Yes. How are you feeling now? How's the sweat levels?
They're sweaty. I'm just,
Okay.
Yeah. Alice, what are you wanting to do?
My kids are super excited too.
What are you wanting to do with 100K, Alice? What would you do?
I just lost my job last week. So just use it to live. And maybe also go on a holiday and do dancing lessons with my husband.
Oh, tell us about that. What are you doing?
Oh, well, you know, you have to reignite the spark somehow. And after three kids, you know, that involved intimacy, but, you know, not too much.
So, Alice, you haven't started dance before. You haven't done dance before. This is just a pipe dream.
I'm a solo dancer. Okay. And he's not that into dancing, so maybe,
Oh, my God, one lesson of you as the pro and you take him around the room and you're like, oi, next week you're staying home and I'm doing this without you.
Alice, we hope you win. Our furry little friend here is going to say start. You just have to say stop, and if it's on exactly 5 seconds, the cash is yours.
Oh, I hope you get it, Alice.
Are you ready?
Oh, my God. I'm just, like, honestly just trying to stop the car. Yes,
hang
we
on,
are ready.
Hang on, wait. You, just to confirm, you are ready?
We are ready. We are ready.
Okay.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh, Alice, it felt a little on the longitude side for me. Carrie, how did it feel for you?
Yeah, it felt a bit long for me too, Alice.
We hope you win.
Oh,
the number we need to hear is 5.00. Let's see.
Right here.
Let's see, for $100,000. How did Alice go?
6.68.
Oh, no.
Oh, she fell quick too. G'day, Selena.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, living the dream. Thank you very much. Do you want to win $100,000?
Oh, I absolutely do.
Are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
What are you doing with the cash, Selena?
I'm going to buy a new car for a start. Yep. So the car we have isn't big enough for us.
Okay.
And then...
How big a car do you need, Selena? How many?
I need 9 seats.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Who for?
So me, my partner, and our 7 kids.
Whoa, yeah. That's fun.
Are you a combined family?
You got a nipple.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So 5 are mine, and then and my partner bought 2. So 7.
Bought 2 is wonderful.
Bought 2 to the family. Yeah. Next to 2.
Good on you, Selena. Well, let's try and win you a 9 seat. Are you ready to go?
Oh yes.
Start.
Stop.
That felt so good. Selena, that felt. Selena, oh, my God.
Our furry little man.
Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Has pursed his lips and he's kicked his little chair out and then he just slapped his little palm on the table.
Look at the smile on his face.
I know.
That either means it's close because he is a bit of a sicko where he quite likes it when it gets close.
I know.
You know?
He is a sicko. Isn't he a sicko?
But Selena. Sometimes he gets the smile when it's bang on. It's only ever gone off 3 times. Selena,
oh, really?
Will you be the fourth? Wow. Oh, my God. There's 100K on the line, Selena.
For $100,000, Selena, we know it's close. And now if he fires off this bed, which makes it sound even tenser, we know it's even closer. So let's see what our little furry friend's next move is. Oh, that means it's real close, Selena.
For Selena and her 7 kids and a 9-seater car she needs. Jesse, how did Selena go?
4.98.
Okay, Paul, come on, Paul. We've got close. Let's get it bang on 5. How are you feeling, Paul?
Oh, I'm nervous, but I'm okay. My daughter told me not to be nervous.
Don't be nervous. There's nothing to lose. All that happens is either you get it bang on 5, you win $100,000, or you don't, and you plummet to your death. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Start.
Stop.
Felt a little bit long. Paul, it felt a little bit long.
Did it?
What did it feel for you?
I was thinking about a 9-seater and having 7 kids. And I was thinking how many more to need a different sporting team. And you've got a basketball team with 2 subs.
I only want a 4-seater. 4-seater to do.
Paul, what are you doing with 100K if it's yours? I don't think
I'll be taking my daughter to Disneyland straight away.
Oh, that's fun. Paul, we hope you win. Yep. How did Paul
go?
Thank
you.
5.075.
Yeah. Oh, 100K tomorrow. Listen to Brekkie Vow to win.
Carrie and Tommy.
I'll put that down.
What's that?
That was my drill. Because
I thought you were winding up for a yee-haw.
Because I'm on the tools.
What were you working on?
Are you not on the tools?
I'm not. No, you are today. What were you working on?
I've been working on a diss track update for you.
Okay.
As you know, I bought you Drake's diss track towards Kendrick Lamar the other week called Taylor Made Freestyle, and it featured an AI version of Tupac, because no longer with us, tip some milk out on the pavement, and Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. He's since had to take that down because Tupac's estate got involved.
Ooh.
And they said sent him a cease and desist letter, and he ceased.
Do you
and desisted.
Think Tupac, though, would have liked it? Like, just because his estate wants it stopped.
I didn't actually have much to do with the part.
No, but you know how sometimes they just like being mentioned.
Yeah.
Should we ask his AI?
Oh, should we? See what he says.
I don't know how we do
okay.
that.
We got a cease and desist. Anyway, Kendrick has shot back.
Ooh.
He released his track called Euphoria, and he really has a crack. He mentions, I didn't know this, that he calls Drake a scam artist. And mentions that he thinks his abs might be fake and surgically enhanced. Yes.
Oh, can we all have some of them?
One of his words was, let your core audience stomach that, then tell them where you get your abs from.
Didn't have a crack at any other body parts.
It's such a bitchy thing. Tell them where you get your abs from.
Yeah, where'd you get them? Where'd you get them? Where'd you get your abs from? Where'd you get your abs from? We've got a bit of euphoria here.
Pathetic master manipulator, I can smell the tails on you now. You're not a rap artist, you're a scam artist with the hopes of being accepted. Tommy Hilfiger stood out, but FUBU never had been your collection. I make music that electrify him. You make music that pacify him. I can double down on that line, but spare you this time. That's random acts of kindness. Know you're a master manipulator.
And then it does. It kicks up and gets a bit more hectic.
It's funny how he's saying you make music that pacifies, because just then I was like, this could send me to sleep.
But that's when it does kick up a notch. Except when it does kick up a notch, the swearing also kicks up a notch.
Right. Well, speaking of diss tracks, I had no idea that you had laid one down about one of the things you hate the most in the world. And I heard it before.
Wow, you've really been
on the
tools.
It's not bad, if I'm honest. I don't know whether you're going to release it or not.
Is my estate after going to get involved with
we'll
a cease and desist?
Find out. I'm
going
to play
AI.
Your diss track on the other side of Back to Back to Back. Carrie and Tommy. So we just heard before you played Kendrick Lamar's diss track he's done to Drake.
Yes.
And
spicy stuff.
It got very spicy, very hectic. How did their feud start?
I actually don't know. I think it was because Kendrick called him light-skinned. There's a big thing about Drake being light-skinned and how he should stop using some of the language potentially that he uses.
Right.
Yes, because obviously he's Canadian also. Anyway, okay. I think it was actually something some years ago, and Drake decided, you know what, I'm going to fire this thing up a bit.
Well, speaking of firing this thing up a bit, I mean, it's been well known that you've had a feud with Soup for a very long time. You hate Soup.
I don't like Soup.
Hate
no, sorry. It's just not food.
Exactly.
It's not a meal.
Dissed it. You've dissed it for years now. And
have we
now,
got someone from Campbell's on the line?
Now, no. I didn't realise that in your spare time, you've gotten into the studio and you've written a diss track to Soup.
God,
and
good.
I heard it. It's not bad. Ooh. Have a listen.
Yo, Soup, you're not even a real food. Yo, it's Tommy Little here on the track. You weak guy, Soup. I'm coming for ya. You suck. Yo, step back. Let me school you with a fact. Tommy Little on the track. About to launch an attack. Call it Soup. Call it bro. It's all the same lack. Trying to fill me up with that now. Nah, I'll just give it back. Soup ain't a meal, it's just a prelude. Trying to serve that as dinner, man, that's just rude. I need more than a liquid to adjust my mood. Need solid food on my plate, not something stewed. It's watery, it's thin, ain't no satisfaction. Where's the beef? The heat? Just a watery fraction. Need a fork and a knife, bring the main attraction. Soup alone ain't cutting it, no real action. You say it's hearty, you say it's feeling. Stop
know, you
your
lie,
it's just a thin disguise. A meal's supposed to stick, supposed to satisfy. It's just an appetite.
Let's end that.
So here's the thing.
Isn't that amazing?
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, yes. Obviously, it's not me, but I would listen to that thinking that's me.
Okay, this is what we talked about. So Jez, our audio guy, said to me, hey.
Big giveaway is the first one is, hey, it's Tommy Little here.
Yes, that is true. You wouldn't probably start it by saying that.
Actually, I probably would.
Yeah. Actually, well, isn't that what all the rappers do?
hey, it's Kendrick Lamar.
Jason Derulo.
Is he a rapper? I thought he's a pop star.
Anyway, I haven't checked if he, where he sits on the Kendrick
audio
Drake
producer
feud.
Jez said to me, hey, I've done a diss track of Tommy hating soup. And I said, what do you mean? And then he played it. And I was like, Tommy's done that. And he goes, no, I've done it with AI. Blew my mind. Because that does sound like you, like a lot like you.
Yeah.
No, but don't look at me like confused. Yeah. Sometimes AI doesn't, like we've had our voices done AI before and they don't sound exactly right.
I would think that's me.
Is your estate going to have a problem with that?
My estate is sending Jez a cease and desist letter. Hang on. My estate's also me, so I'm just writing. How do you spell?
Do you want to use ChatGPT to write your letter?
Oh my, is cease a S or a C?
You might need AI.
Cease and...
Oh, Caesar and desist.
I said Caesar and dessert. Oh, God, that's my next diss track. Boom, boom, boom,
boom. Yeah. Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.
Another wildly entertaining podcast with Carrie and Tommy is all wrapped up. If money feels a little wild, Nab's right there with you. From weekly groceries to the yearly holiday, whatever matters to you, Nab can help wrangle it. Nab, more than money.